you, Lord.
Hallelujah. He does keep on giving and giving, blessing and blessing. Praise the Lord. Psalm 112. I have been in the Psalms some time now, and we're going to read these 10 verses in Psalm 112 today. Praise the Lord. Hope you have your Bibles with you, and we'll follow along as we read here this great psalm. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. His righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Psalm 112 is another one of these wisdom psalms. There are probably in the neighborhood of 24, 25 of the psalms that are considered wisdom psalms. And that just means that they are psalms that instruct us. They give us instruction. The theological term is the word that I have rarely seen. It's called didactic, and it just means teaching. It's an instructional or a teaching psalm. Many of the psalms are psalms of praise and worship. Many of the psalms are psalms of repentance. Some of them are psalms that are prophetic, messianic prophecies, prophesying of the Messiah, and many different categories, but at least 24, 25 of the psalms are like the one that we've just read, Psalm 112, and like we spoke from two Sundays ago, Psalm 1. And in all of these wisdom psalms, it gives this contrast between the righteous way and the way of the unrighteous, or the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. And you remember there from Psalm 1 that the righteous person was like a tree that was planted by the streams of water, and it was always growing and flourishing, and because of where it had been positioned by the rivers of water. And that depicted the kind of person who lived a righteous life. But it said that the wicked weren't like that. The wicked, that they were like the chaff that the wind blew away. They were just dead, lifeless, and they filled up themselves their whole life with meaningless activities. And so the two ways are contrasted. And it's true also here in Psalm 112. So there's instruction for us from the Word of God as to the two ways that you can live, the two directions, the two paths that you can follow, either the path that leads to blessing, and that's what we're calling this today, the path of blessing, or you can follow the way of the unrighteous. You can choose that way. And we all, our lives are filled up with daily decisions. And many of the decisions that we make every day, we don't really even think much about it because it's just the routine of our life. And so we made decisions early on in our life that have become a pattern in our life. And hopefully those were righteous decisions. But when you make decisions that go in the way of the wicked, the ungodly, and the contrast here in this chapter is between verse 1 and the very last verse, verse 10, it said, "Blessed is the man that fears the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments." That describes the way of the blessed, the way of the righteous, the path of the blessing, the man who is blessed. And verse 10, it says that the wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. That's the way of the wicked, that it just melts away. It has no significance, has no importance. It just becomes nothing that really is going to count, especially as far as time and eternity is concerned. So it's important that we make the right decisions in our lives every day. Because when we get to the end of our life, it's going to be the sum total of all of those decisions that we make. And in Psalm 112, verse 1, we are instructed in this wisdom psalm. We're instructed to make sure that if we follow the path of blessing, that there has to be these two things that have to become such a priority in our life. So we need to take a close look at them here. Blessed is the man. The path of blessing, it is a pathway that is easily distinguished, because you follow that path because you fear the Lord. You fear the Lord. Now, we do today live in a world that, you know, people just don't fear God anymore. The fear of the Lord is not before their eyes. There's no reverence. There's no consideration of God. Literally, God is made a mockery in the public today. And almost every type of venue today, it is God being made fun of. And so the wicked do that. That's what characterizes, one of the things that characterizes the wicked and the unrighteous. They do not revere God. They're not. And really, the fear of the Lord in this verse here, and I know that the fear of the Lord is a big subject, but just to break it down into something we can talk about for a few minutes here this morning, to fear the Lord is to be in awe of Him. To fear the Lord is to hold Him in the highest regard, that He is above everything else and everyone else. And you're in awe of the Lord. Have you ever been awestruck? Have you ever been in a situation where you saw something or experienced something and it almost just took you to the place that you didn't hardly know what to say? I was just thinking about this last night. I've had a few times where I've been kind of awestruck. When my babies were born, our babies were born. That's pretty awesome. And pretty overwhelming whenever something so wonderful happens in your life. That was really, really something that just, it's like almost more than you can comprehend, that God has blessed your family with a life and the blessing of a child. And that's something that's pretty awesome, worthy of that word awesome. Amen. Amen. And I got to thinking also about some other things that kind of just, when I saw it, it just kind of just, I just stopped for a minute and thought, wow, that's really something. And a few months ago when we were in Colorado and I came out of my motel, we checked in at night, it was dark, and we'd come out the next morning and I looked up and right behind our hotel was this landscape of those beautiful mountains all across the western part of Colorado Springs. And I just stood there by my car and thought, wow. This is really something. This is just beautiful, almost beyond words. I've had a few experiences like that. I've seen things, and I no doubt you have too. One time, it's hard to imagine, Arlene, I know, for those that have ever been to Romania, there's a lot of dark, dreary, unpleasant things about Romania. But I remember that I don't remember which time I was there, but who I was with, just traveling somewhere, and the roads there are horrible and bumpy, and the cars are pitiful, and everything about the trip was tough. You'd travel for hours to the next location. But I remember that I looked out the window. I saw something that I never have seen before or since. I saw, as far as I could see, I saw fields of sunflowers. And I remember commenting to the people, and I don't remember. I know we slowed down for me to look. It was commonplace to the Romanians, but to me, I'd never seen anything like that. These sunflowers are 5 or 6 feet tall and huge, and there was a fields of them almost as far as you could see. And I'm telling you, I was pretty well awestruck by it. This is unbelievable. This is amazing. This is now all of that, and many of you may have in your mind now things that you have seen or things that you have experienced that kind of set you back and you were awestruck by it. But none of that compares to the awesomeness of who God is. Those are just the creation of our God, but to understand Him and to know Him and to have fellowship with the Creator of everything that is, to be able to know the Lord, to be able to have a relationship with God, that's why I get so upset. And I don't want to just belabor the point of this, but I just really believe that our worship and everything about our relationship with God, that there ought to be, as a part of it, a major part of it, a reverence and a recognition of the awesomeness of who He is. And when church services are turned into something less than really something that points to the greatness of our God, then we need to reevaluate and get back to church that honors Him and that reminds us of the greatness of the Lord. And so the person who's going to be blessed is a person who understands about the fear of God. And you make choices. As I said, we all have choices that we make along the way. But make the choice and commit yourself to be a person who a Christian who understands that He is greater and higher and mightier and far beyond anything that we can even comprehend. If we start right now thinking and praising Him and worshiping the Lord, and this time tomorrow morning we're still doing it, we've still only begun to praise Him for His worth and His value and the greatness of our God. And so it has to be, you know, it's really hard to have that kind of an attitude of praise to God and at the same time be a complainer and filled with, you know, with a bad attitude and worrying about all your troubles and your problems. When you're a child of God, you understand that He is the highest. He is the highest. He's the mightiest. And there's no one that compares to who He is. That's the fear of the Lord. Or at least that's one aspect of the fear of the Lord. But today there's no fear of God before men's eyes. That's the reason why that there is. It's so commonplace for people to take the name of the Lord in vain. Now, we all find ourselves in places, maybe at work or wherever, where you hear people using the name of the Lord in vain. But don't get used to that. Just because you hear it often, don't get used to that. Let it continue to break your heart. Make sure that you continue to just kind of, you know, detest that spirit that degrades the name of our Lord. You see, a person who has the fear of God in him, he regards Him as the highest. And we would never, ever want to do anything to dishonor the Lord. Those who have these kind of experiences with God, whether it be at an altar of salvation or some other spiritual experience that you've had with the Lord, when you come out of that experience, it's not a fun little casual activity. You know, they've turned church today. So many have turned church into 1 hour of making everybody feel good, and they leave happy and laughing, and it's just such a casual thing today that there is no understanding of who He is and the greatness of our God. Amen. The fear of the Lord. Whenever Isaiah had that experience there in Isaiah chapter 6, whenever he saw the Lord high and lifted up, it had such an effect upon that prophet, that man of God. He was so affected by that that he could just say, "Woe is me, woe is me, I am undone." This was a man of God. He was no doubt, Isaiah was no doubt a very godly, righteous man. But whenever he had this encounter with the living God, then all that he could see was how much less that he was than God. Amen. Even the cherubims
Even the angels of heaven, it was all, they were crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." That's the expression of everyone who has contact with our God. Amen. Isaiah said, "Woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Every man in the Bible, every person in the Bible who had a real encounter with God, you'll see the way they reacted. And all these were great, righteous, godly people. Paul on the road to Damascus, of course, he wasn't converted. He was self-righteous. But on the road to Damascus, it was a changing experience for him when he had that encounter with the Son of God. Amen. John on Patmos. There were other examples in the scripture of people who saw the Lord in His greatness, in His glory, in His might. And that's really just an important part of what it is to fear the Lord. To fear the Lord. To be in awe of Him. To hold Him in the highest regard. Amen. To realize how privileged we are to come into the house of the Lord and to come into a place of prayer and to have an encounter with the Son of God. Hallelujah. The fear of the Lord. The path of blessing is a path of determining, I'm going to fear God. I'm going to live a life of reverence and respect and honor of who He is. I'm not going to fall into the trap of the way that people are thinking today of a God who's just casual and he's just your buddy that you can hang out with. But He's the Son of the living God. He is the one who is to be honored and revered. Amen. Not only that, the two things here that are describing this person, or at least distinguishing this person who has the blessing of the Lord upon his life, is that he fears God and he delights in the commandments of God. He delights in the commandments of the Lord. So the person who fears the Lord understands how high that he is. The person who delights in his commandments understands that his ways are so much higher than our ways. And so we always say, my ways are not right, His ways are right. You always defer to the Word of God. You always say, my opinion is not worth much in comparison to the Word of the Lord. The person who delights in the commandments of the Lord is always looking to God's Word as their divine resource, as their counsel, as their strength, as their help. They delight in the Word of the Lord because they know that His ways are so much higher than our ways. Amen. Praise God. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your ways. That shows you the contrast. My thoughts are earthly, of this world, but His thoughts are as high, as far away as the heavens are. From the way that you and I naturally think, that's how far away it is for us to think that our thoughts could ever compare with His thoughts or His ways. And the only way that we can ever think like Him and know the wisdom of the Lord and be able to walk in the way of the blessing of the Lord is to love His commandments, to love the commandments of the Lord, to delight in them and to recognize the preciousness and the value of the Word of God, and that His Word leads us to this wonderful pathway of blessing. Hallelujah. Psalm 139, verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Talking about the knowledge of the Lord. Now, the rest of the verses that are sandwiched in between verse 1 and verse 10 describe the kind of blessing that comes to a person who fears God and who delights in the commandments of the Lord. Amen. Fears the Lord and delights in the commandments of the Lord. It describes for us, and I won't have the time to go in detail into all of these, but we can just go through them real quickly. His seed or his legacy his family, and the generations to follow him are going to be mighty on the earth. Amen. This generation of the upright are the ones that are blessed, those that fear God, those that delight in the commandments of the Lord. Then that legacy, that lineage of that family is going to be mighty in the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God that your children and your children's children and the generations that are to follow, that if you'll fear God and you will love his commandments, that God will bless you because you have taken this pathway. You have chosen this pathway of the blessed. These verses describe the kind of blessing that comes to that person. Not only is his family blessed, verse 3, it says, wealth and riches shall be in his house. I was reading one commentator on this, and he said, as opposed to in his heart, that wealth and riches are in his house as opposed to in his heart. That instead of it getting a hold of his life and his heart, all the provision and the bounty and the blessing that comes his way, he understands it's from God, and he uses it for the glory of God. Amen. It's not something that he uses just for himself and the prosperity that comes his way. It's not talking about this foolish idea of a prosperity doctrine that's promoted so much today. It is talking about that God's people are blessed because God will prosper them because he knows that they love his law and that they fear the Lord, and God blesses them because he wants to use them as a channel and a vessel to further the work of the kingdom of God. Amen. And so he blesses his house. And as long as the prosperity stays in the house as a channel of blessing to people and to needs of others, that's wonderful. Now, if it gets a hold of your heart and it becomes something that you've set your affection on, then it will become a detriment and a destruction to your life. But I do believe that God can raise up people and prosper them and bless them, even as far as the financial needs and the financial area of their life, if they'll be faithful, if they will be generous, if they will be loving, if they will prosper others and pour out and recognize that this is the blessing of the Lord upon your life. You follow this pathway. And you say, now I know righteous people, they don't have any money. And I know righteous people that their children don't serve the Lord. Now this is speaking in generalities, that this is generally what will happen as a whole to people who follow this way. That doesn't mean that there won't be lean times, and it doesn't mean that there won't be times when there will be those who are a part of your generation and your family that they may choose and follow another pathway. But in general terms, what it's describing is that there is a blessing to the people who honor God, who fear the Lord, and who love his commandments. Glory to God. Amen. Lay hold of that promise. What a blessing that it is. Verse 4, unto the upright there ariseth light in darkness. What a wonderful, wonderful verse. Amen. To the upright, God, into the middle of your darkness, his light shines. God is always moving. Remember, there was always light in Goshen. That was the area where the children of Israel stayed when the plagues came and all these things came upon the children, upon all of Egypt. The children of Israel, they were in that place called Goshen. Right there, they had been established there. The light was always on there, and they were always divinely protected in that place. The person who chooses the pathway of blessing can even have light in the midst of their darkness. Amen. What a blessing that is. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. It does not matter what you go through as a believer or how dark your situation or the times might be. You may feel the heaviness of the darkness of the circumstance of your life. But if you'll choose the path of blessing, if you'll fear the Lord and you will delight in the commandments of the Lord, that God will shine his light right in the midst of your worst trial. Amen. Amen. Unto the upright there arises light in darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion, and righteous. God will be there for you in the midst of your dark time. Amen. Verse 5, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. It just describes that he's the kind of person that God is going to give him the wisdom to manage his affairs, to manage his life. God will help him to order his life so that he can be a vessel that God can use, and he will pour out to the poor. He'll give to the needy. He'll minister to those in their times of need. He'll be that kind of a person because God has given to him wisdom to guide his affairs with discretion. Amen. Surely, verse 6, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. Hallelujah. You talk about blessing. It comes to the person who chooses the way of blessing, the pathway of blessing. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You fear the Lord and you love his commandments, and the Lord will establish you. He'll put you on a solid foundation. He'll cause you to be stable in unstable times. He'll be with you. He will help you through the worst of circumstances. Amen. It doesn't matter what Satan sends your way or what he tries to do to shake you in your confidence in God because of who you are. Your heart's established in the Lord because you fear him and you delight in the commandments of the Lord. Then you are the kind of person that's going to be stable when everything else is rocking. Glory to God. Amen. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid till he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. That's a really neat phrase. His horn shall be exalted with honor. I had to dig into that. The first thing that came to my mind when I read it was I thought of what's the Thanksgiving horn called? Horn of plenty. That's what I thought of, and I thought, that's what that's talking about. No, I was wrong. I got to looking into this, searching this out. It was really interesting because whenever they would go into battle, they would cover their head with a helmet completely. It covered the back of their head, the top of their head, and they had an extra strap of metal that came from the back of their head to protect the top and the front of their head, and also it came all the way down and cover their nose. It's just a thin strap of steel that came from the back to the front of their face to protect them. Whenever they would win a great victory, we all know that it was their custom to go marching back to their hometown, to the family and to all of their the city, and they would have a big parade of victory. And they would march into the city. Well, after they had defeated their enemy out on the battlefield and they started their march back to their hometown, they were able to loose that strap that came down over their nose, and they would pull it back and it stuck up in the air like a horn. And everybody that saw those soldiers marching, they knew that they had won the battle. Amen. Amen. And that piece of metal was sticking up in the air on thousands of soldiers as they marched back into their city. And they would see them walking back into their city. And there was rejoicing and victory because they had won the battle and their enemy had been defeated. Isn't that neat? His horn shall be exalted with honor. Now that's all the things, and I've ran through those very quickly here this morning just for time's sake. Verses 2 through 9, just describing all the blessings that come to that person that chooses that right path. The path of blessing. But then it shows the last verse describes the person who chooses the wrong path. And he lives out his life. And he comes to the end of his life. And he realizes, I can't go back and redo it again. I can't go back. It says, the wicked shall see it. See what? They'll see the people of God and the favor and the blessing of the Lord upon the people of God. The wicked will see it. They'll see their victory. They'll see God's blessing upon them. and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth. Now, we all do that. Some gnash their teeth more than others. Here's an illustration of what I'm talking about here. Talking about the regret of the wicked. The regret. This was years ago. Actually, this had to have been before 9/11, because Brother Huff and I were flying to a missions meeting, and we were running late to the airport. And so we were so close that Brother Huff said, "I'm going to let you out at the door with our bags, and you run to the gate." You can't run to the gate no more with somebody else's bags. And so I took off to the gate. When I got to the gate, this was at Lexington Airport. When I got to the gate, the door was shut and the plane was backing up. And about 5 minutes later, Brother Huff was pretty spry in those days. It probably wasn't 5 minutes. He had already parked the vehicle and was already there at the gate. And when he got there, have you ever seen Brother Huff do that? It's regret. If only I'd gotten here 10 minutes earlier. So we had to sit around Lexington for four or five hours until the next flight took off. That's the problem of the wicked. When he lives out his life and he follows that pathway of unrighteousness, he lives that way, and then he gets to the end of his life and he sees how God blesses and gives favor to those who live righteously. And then they look at their life and they are grieved. They look at the decisions that they have made and they gnash their teeth. They melt away and the desire of the wicked perishes. That's the way they end their life, without hope, without the favor of God, the blessing of the Lord upon their life. So there are the two choices that are given to us in Psalm 112. Follow after the fear of the Lord, or love the word of the Lord, the commandments of God, delight in them. And when you do that, then you'll experience God's help, His favor, His blessing in all these different areas of your life, strengthening you, helping you, delivering you, a light in your darkness, provision for you. All these wonderful blessings and benefits that are yours because you have chosen the pathway of blessing. And if you don't, you'll live all the way to the end of your life, and you'll have nothing but the gnashing of regret. If only I would have served the Lord. If only I would have yielded myself to the call of God, to the purpose of God, the plan of God. If only my priorities would have been right. If only I would have fixed my heart on the things of the Lord, I would have enjoyed His blessing. You live out the days of your life, and you come to the close, and you look at those that live righteously and you grieve because you can't redo it. You can't go back and redo your life. You only have one chance to live and to follow this pathway of blessing. And you need to start. If you're not on this pathway, you need to start today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is the best life. This is the life that you should choose to follow. I understand that as Christians that we have decisions to make. You had to decide to yield yourself to the Lord. He's calling. He's not willing that any should perish. And He's provided and He's given to everyone their free moral agency, their own right to choose. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to choose the right way. Choose to fear God. Choose to delight in His commandments. As simple as that may sound, that is what leads to the pathway of God's blessing upon our lives. Hallelujah. Let's stand, everybody. Would you please stand with me?